Fantastic. So, today is the second of four Sundays in the Christian tradition of Advent. So, if you remember, Advent is a season of waiting, and it's leading up to when we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus, when we're waiting to celebrate Christmas, and we like to open presents at Christmas, and the best present of all is Jesus. So we're leading up to waiting to celebrate his birth. And it's also actually a time of looking forward with great longing for Jesus' second coming. And this year we're looking at four different ways through which God advances his kingdom. And the reason we're doing this is because in a Bible passage we like to read at Christmas, Isaiah the prophet connects the coming of God's kingdom to the day of Midian's defeat. So let's turn in our Bibles to read about that in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. So we're going to read about how the prophet Isaiah connects the coming of God's kingdom to the day of Midian's defeat. Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You," and that's Isaiah speaking to God, "you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So the advance of God's kingdom through a child born and a son given is likened to the day of Midian's defeat. Now, you may already know that the Battle of Midian involves a character called Gideon. And that's a good way to remember it. Midian rhymes with Gideon. So the people of Israel at this time were in this cycle. They were in a cycle of disobeying God and doing what was evil in his sight. God gives them over to their enemies because of their disobedience. The people then repent, and then God delivers them. And this cycle goes round and again and again and again. And during the time of oppression from their enemies, God comes to a man called Gideon. And God chooses to lead the people into their deliverance through Gideon's leadership. And we read that whole story in Judges 6 to 8. Now, we haven't time to read the whole story today. But when Gideon was called by God, he was hiding in weakness and fear. And we saw last week about how God advances his kingdom through weakness. And we looked at how Jesus has broken that cycle now in the new covenant by the Spirit. He's broken that cycle of disobedience and brought us into union with Jesus, into union with the Trinity. And this week, we're going to look at how God advances his kingdom not only through weakness, but through a new identity. And God gives Gideon a new identity by calling him a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of courage, a mighty warrior. So God comes to a weak and fearful Gideon, and through an angel of the Lord, God calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. It says in Judges 6:12, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" So even though Gideon was afraid and weak, God gave him a new name, a new identity. So before Gideon had done anything to help deliver the people, God gave him this new identity as a mighty man of valor. And it reminds me of when Jesus was baptized, when the voice comes from heaven and says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus is engaged, in that sense, in any earthly ministry, God called him his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. And that same dynamic is at play here. When God calls Gideon, even though he's weak and afraid, calls him a mighty man of valor. And so, as is kind of normal for humans, Gideon started questioning this and thinking, "Well, I'm weak and afraid. What do you mean? How on earth can I be a mighty man of valor?" And God turns to Gideon and he says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And so he's saying, do your best with what you have, but I'm sending you. Is it not I that send you? So Gideon's identity was a mighty man of valor for two reasons here. Because, number one, because God said it. So it didn't matter to God that Gideon was afraid and weak. God knew Gideon was afraid and weak. But yet God said, you are mighty. And so Gideon is mighty because God said it. And who's above God? God declared him mighty. And so God overrides his weakness. God has that sovereign power. And we can apply that to ourselves. Even when we feel weak and afraid, God calls us mighty people of valor in Jesus. God calls us loved. God calls us accepted. And that overrides us saying, well, I don't think that's true. And it's like, okay, my word against God's, our word against God's. Who are we going to believe? That's part of our surrendering to God. Surrendering to him, saying, no, you are my child. I know you're weak. I know you're afraid. But I say, God overrides Gideon's weakness. And the second thing is Gideon was a mighty man of valor because God was with him. The might belonged to God, not Gideon. If you remember, the Apostle Paul said, as we looked at last week, the all-surpassing power belongs to God and not us. And so it's that God is with him. That's what means that he's a mighty man of valor. Gideon doesn't appoint himself. God did. God said it. And Gideon was strong because God was with him. And if God was with him, then who could be against him? And I've heard it said, one person with God is a majority. I think it's true. But what does it mean to be a mighty man of valor? Or a mighty person of valor? Because we can all learn from this. Gideon was a man, but we can all learn from this. We might generally see a mighty man of valor as a military person. Someone tall and strong. A fighting person. Someone who has it all together. A powerful and valiant and brave leader. Now, that picture may be generally true, but is it the whole picture for Gideon, a man called in weakness and fear? And I'd like to suggest this morning to us that having this new identity of mighty man of valor for Gideon involves something different to being powerful and mighty and strong. I'd like to suggest that part of being a mighty person of valor for God is one who is willing, with God, to suffer for the deliverance of others. That's part of what it means to be a mighty person of valor. You suffer for the deliverance of others. The mighty person suffers. And others are delivered. Now, how did I come to suggest this? Well, I looked at the Hebrew word for valor, and as I was praying through it and reading, and it means as we might expect. It means an army, wealth, virtue, strength, ability, activity, great forces, goods, power, might, and riches. Now, I'm no Hebrew language expert, but when I went on to discover that the root word for valor means to be in pain and yet dance. Because the Hebrew language is quite creative. The root word for valor means to be in pain yet dance. It means to grieve yet hope. It means to tremble yet trust. It means to be wounded yet wait carefully. So, as well as being brave and courageous, a mighty person of valor knows suffering. They know pain. They know grief. They know trembling. Because they're in the fight. They're in the game. So they're going to know these things. But at the same time, the mighty person of valor knows dancing. The mighty person of valor knows hope. The mighty person of valor knows trust. The mighty person of valor knows deliverance. And that sounds a lot to me like the Christian life, doesn't it? There's loads of pain, but there's loads of dancing. There's loads of grieving, but there's loads of hope. And Paul says we grieve, but not without hope. And so you've got these two things happening all the time. Mighty people of valor, brave people, courageous people, knowing pain, but dancing in the pain. And Gideon, in this new identity of being a mighty man of valor, he suffered for the deliverance of others. So Gideon was called, God calls him, and this massive army gather around him. 32,000 people gather around Gideon, and it's his army. And so he may have thought, quite reasonably, I'm doing all right here. God's called me, I'm a bit weak, I'm a bit afraid. All of a sudden, I've got 32,000 people on my side. And then God says, because God, you know, God's God. He says, Gideon, you've got too many people. And if you have all these people, they're going to boast that they've got the victory. And they'll forget me. So what I want you to do, Gideon, is I want you to ask them, who is afraid? I want you to turn to those 32,000 people, and I want you to ask them, who's scared? Who's afraid? Who can't handle this? And I might be making this up in my creative imagination, but I'm thinking, he thought, well, it can't be that many people. A few people would be afraid, but this is an army. We'll lose a few people, that's fine. But a bulk of them will stay with me. And it's kind of funny, we don't get too much of an idea of Gideon's reaction. But I imagine there was a bit of suffering in Gideon's heart, when 22,000 people left. 22,000 people left. So he's weak and afraid. He's hiding. God comes, you're a mighty man of valor. He questions it, asks for tests, all the rest of it. Alright, I'm believing in you. Let's do this. Big army gathers round. 32,000 people. Ask them if they're afraid. 22,000 people leave. Now, again, I might be getting overexcited in my sanctified imagination, but I reckon at some point that troubled him. I reckon at some point he thought, wow. Imagine, just 32,000 people. Who's afraid here? 22,000 people leave. And that's not the end of it. God goes reducing from 32,000 in the end to 300. It's not many. Now, if it had started with 300, it might be a different picture. But it started with 32,000 people. And God brings it down to 300. Now, God operates in a different realm to us. Now, we've all noticed this, haven't we? That's part of our suffering. It's just like, why are you doing that? Why would you reduce my army from 32,000 to 300? Haven't you seen the Midianites? They're the enemy. They keep coming in and stealing our stuff. Surely you can double the army. Don't reduce it. And so I think that troubled Gideon. And I think God called him a mighty man of valor. And part of Gideon's journey was to experience that suffering of what on earth are you doing, God? And then through that, God advanced his kingdom and eventually delivered the people. So another example of someone we might describe as a mighty man of valor is in the New Testament. And that person is the Apostle Paul. He writes to the church and he says, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And he says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So as an apostle, God called Paul to serve him and spread the gospel. And Paul was experiencing suffering, being crushed, being pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted and struck down but not destroyed. So that's suffering for Paul as he was called by God to be a mighty person of valor and courage, was experienced suffering and he was struck down time and time again. And yet he kept getting back up. And so that suffering journey of Paul was bringing life to others. So he suffered, he got struck down, he got persecuted for the deliverance of others, for the good of the church. So God had his hand on Paul and he was suffering that the church might know life. Paul was a mighty man of valor, a warrior who was suffering for the deliverance of others. And Paul speaks about sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ was and is the ultimate mighty man of valor. So Jesus is the prime and only perfect example of suffering for the deliverance of others. Jesus was struck down that we might be rescued. The innocent one was struck and killed that the guilty would go free. That's the gospel. Jesus, the innocent one, was killed that we, the guilty, would go free in him. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given. The son was born to die and given to us to take all the oppression we deserved and then to set us free to live a life unto God. Jesus, the mighty man of valor, our leader, our shepherd, as Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. So he was pierced for the things that we do intentionally and crushed for the things that we don't even know we're doing. Because we can confess sin, but many times we're sinning, we don't even know it. We're doing things that we can't even know, and Jesus was crushed for those too. Isn't that amazing? He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So the punishment was on him. We get the peace with God. And through Jesus, we now have peace with God. His wounds, our healing. He suffered for the deliverance of others. He laid his life down for us, that we, his friends, may be delivered. And we can do that. Only Jesus could do that. And as believers, we all have a new identity in Jesus Christ. So we have an identity in Jesus, the mighty man of valor. The Bible says we're new creations. The Bible says we're loved. That's who we are. We're children of God. We're beloved. And we are that because God says. And we can walk this thing out because now God's with us. We can go through the suffering and the grief and the persecution. And God's with us and ensures that we don't get struck down and destroyed. And I'll say a bit about even in death that happens in a moment. But what this means for us is that God transforms those in Christ in such a way that we would demonstrate this character in our lives. That we take hold of that reality for ourselves to be mighty men and women of valor and courage. That we suffer for the deliverance of others. That we in Christ would follow his example of laying our lives down for the benefit of others. And so for Gideon, it included the reduction of his army, that God would deliver his people. For Paul, if you read about some of the suffering he went through, it included beatings for the benefit of the church. Shipwrecks for the benefit of the church, and stonings for the sake of the church. And then for Jesus, the perfect Son of God, it was humiliation on the cross, being pierced and crushed and punished for our deliverance. A mighty person of valor suffers for the deliverance of others. Because that's greatness in God's eyes. So we might gravitate towards the mighty person of valor, the loud one, the brave one, the valiant one, and that's all in there. But there's something in being a mighty person of valor in Christ, that God sees greatness when one of his children are transformed to suffer that others might go free. And for us, we all suffer on different levels. I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been beaten to a pulp like Paul. I've never had people throw that many stones at me. We've never suffered on that level. And no one's ever suffered on the level of Jesus, because he was absolutely perfect. And that whole thing he chose to do. No one forced him into it. He said, I'll go. I will suffer, because if I don't suffer, they won't be delivered. And I'm going to give my life that I might be with them forever. But we all taste suffering, don't we, on some level. And it hurts. And we suffer in different ways. So if somebody breaks their little finger, or somebody breaks their ankle, it's different suffering, but it still hurts. And this isn't a competition about who suffered the most. The fact is, we need to recognize that we all suffer. When we become Christians, we experience suffering. And we experienced suffering before we were Christians. But now we're with God. And we all face trials and challenges in life that leave us hard-pressed on every side. Have you ever felt hard-pressed on every side? I'm getting a few grins. Amen? Have you ever been perplexed? You just don't know what to do. If you ever felt like you're just struck down, that you just lost all hope, lost all strength, that's what you feel like. But in our sufferings, in those sufferings, in our identity as mighty people of valor in Jesus, God's kingdom is advanced and seen in us when we live in a way that says we are not crushed. When we live in a way that says we are not in despair, we're not abandoned, we're not destroyed, because we're living in a way that says God is my treasure and God cannot be moved. So yes, I am experiencing sufferings, but I'm not destroyed because I'm in the one who cannot be destroyed. And that's the key. I think it's the key, because having God as our treasure, even in the midst of suffering, means that we are focusing on worshipping and leaning into the one who can never be moved. Now, he might not give us all the answers, but we know we cannot be destroyed. And Paul gives us an example of this, and he says, as we read, we always carry in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. So Paul, by the example of Paul's life, people saw that God was his ultimate treasure. You know, he wrote Gospels when he was in prison and talked about the joy of the Lord because God was with him. Now, his circumstances were terrible, but yet he had that hope. He was struck down. He was in prison, but he wasn't destroyed because he was in the mighty man of valor who can never be destroyed. And for us, even now, by the Spirit, as born-again believers, as those in Christ, God's kingdom is advanced through us when we are empowered by the joy in the Spirit and this treasuring reality, and this is the golden nugget, this reality that God the Father recognizes his Son in us when we're crushed, but not destroyed. He recognizes his Son in us when we are hard-pressed on every side. He recognizes Jesus in us when we're pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. The Father sees Jesus in us and said, that looks like my Son, someone who's suffering for the deliverance of others. He sees Christ in us. So when I look at my children, I see myself in them. I see myself in them. I can see myself in each of them at different times. I see myself in them because I'm their father. And so it is with God. With Christ in us, the hope of glory. What joy it is to know that God the Father sees his Son in us. And that is an empowerment in the suffering. It's not the only thing to say, but it's the empowerment in the suffering that even when we don't know what's going on, we're hard pressed. To know that the Father sees Jesus in us. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. He recognizes his Son in us. And that means that we belong to him. And that empowers us through the pressings, the crushings, the perplexions, the suffering, the persecution. That empowers us So the Father sees the characteristics of Christ being transformed in us when we suffer and others are delivered. And through that, we proclaim through our lives that God is our treasure. Not reputation, not being liked, or not succeeding in a worldly level, but our treasure is that God the Father recognizes Jesus in us by the Spirit and says, I know you. I can see you. I can see Jesus in you. I can see you in him. I recognize that you are my son. And God's kingdom is advanced when we live our lives and we're an example of having God as our treasure in our suffering. And we can know joy in our suffering. We can taste joy in our suffering by knowing that the Father recognizes Jesus, the mighty person of valor, the mighty person of courage in us when we're struck down but not destroyed. I want to be a mighty man of valor in that way. I think we already are. So there is a dynamic where it's strong and shields and swords and shouting and armies and all that stuff. And actually it will be that when Jesus comes again. But there's a whole new dynamic to being a mighty person of valor in Christ. When we lay our lives down for the benefit of others. That's what God sees as mighty. That's what God sees as great, because he recognizes Jesus in that. He sees us sharing in the sufferings of Christ, and he says, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. They're my boys. They're my boys. That's my boy. Because he's sharing in the sufferings of my son. And when he sees ladies suffering for the deliverance of others, hard pressed on every side, trying to get through this suffering, he says, that's my girl. That's my girl. They're my girls. There's my girl. That is empowerment in the suffering. To know that God sees us and says, you belong to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wasn't the baptism day so wonderful? I'm sure Abigail enjoyed it as well. But that whole voice of God around that whole thing, with Abigail, Matthew, Daniela and Davina, that whole voice was, you are my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Before they go out and grow and evangelize and see God's kingdom come, it was, you are my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. And we've got to grab hold of that, because it's who we are. It's our identity. And yes, we are going to suffer. I wish I could say at Christmas time, let's go to the toy shop and buy our suffering away. I'm not saying don't go to the toy shop, but it ain't going to buy your suffering away. Especially when you see some of the prices of the toys these days. We are going to be hard pressed. We are going to have perplexions and persecutions. But the truth is, the empowerment to walk through that is knowing that God recognizes Christ in us. So receive that. It means you're on the right track. It means you're on the right road. You are a mighty person of valor if you're in Christ, because you are in the one who is the mighty person of valor. And even in physical death, it's being struck down, but not destroyed. So my dad, when he died, he was struck down, but he was not destroyed. your loved ones in Christ, struck down by sickness and disease, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. The body died. They were not destroyed. Absent from the body, present with Christ. Who is Christ? The mighty man of valor. So, and that's hard when someone dies physically. There's hard pressings, there's persecution, there's perplexions. Why? But through the Spirit, he reveals to us that there's no destruction, ultimately. And God the Father recognizes his Son in those who have died physically, because he sees that Jesus died physically. He sees someone struck down, dying physically, and he recognizes that my Son did that. And God the Father recognizes his Son raised from the dead. So he sees those who have died in Christ raise up to be with Christ in his presence. Looking at the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, he recognizes that in people that suffer and die and are raised into his presence. I recognize you because you were hard pressed on every side, but you were not destroyed. You were in Christ. I recognize you because you physically died. But now you've raised again, like my Son. And God's kingdom is advanced when we grab hold of this reality, when we surrender to the reality that God says, that's my boy, that's my girl. Because we become an example. It's not all about what we say, it's about how we live our lives. How we live our lives speaks a message. I have people coming up to me and saying, I'm going through all this stuff. I don't know how to encourage people in it because I'm so discouraged. And I want to encourage them and say, listen, your life lived. You keep coming back to worship God. People know what you're going through. And when they see you worshiping God through that, God is glorified. And his kingdom is advanced. They haven't preached a sermon. They haven't said anything. They've gone through hell and back. And they keep coming back to church. And they keep following Jesus. That speaks a message. So they suffer. Other people are delivered. And God's loving rulership, which is his kingdom, is advanced. When we're struck down, but we live in such a way that proclaims to the world around and the world and those around us, we are not destroyed. I know many people here, if not all of us, have gone through stuff and we keep coming back to worship the Lord. We keep following Jesus in our daily lives. That speaks a message. And I've witnessed people at the end of their life trusting God. And God's kingdom is advanced and expressed when someone who is on their deathbed says, in their identity as a mighty person of valor, I may be struck down here, but I will never be destroyed. Now that says something. Because I don't know if you've noticed, when you go to help people, you're like, well, yes, here comes the rescuer Riley. Or here comes the super Christian, and you end up being ministered to yourself. And that's what happens. When someone's dying physically and they say, I may be struck down by this, but I'll never be destroyed because I'm in Jesus. And Jesus was struck down, but he was raised from the dead. And he will never be destroyed, so in him neither will I. And that's a work of God. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And so this Advent season, let's be encouraged that God's kingdom, his loving rulership, is still advancing through us despite our weakness. God's kingdom is advancing through a new identity in Christ as mighty people of valor who are hard pressed but not destroyed. Let's remember that his loving rulership is still advancing through us. Let's remember that as we approach Christmas and we await his return. And I just want to drop five little things in your heart, more specific characteristics of mighty people of valor. Number one, mighty people of valor are empowered by God. They know they're born again because of what God did. They know they're mighty people of valor because of what God said. They know their identity in Christ is empowered by God himself. Number two, mighty people of valor listen to God. They listen to God. As I've heard many times, we've got two ears and one mouth. Sometimes I behave like I've got two mouths and one ear. Maybe it's just me. But listening to God, not dominating the conversation, listen to God. I remember once a pastor friend of mine just asked me a question. I was telling him about some stuff ages ago, and he just said, "Have you tried praying about it? Have you tried listening to God about it?" And I was like, "Wow, that's an idea. God help me, God help me, what's going on, what's going on, I'm searching for scripture, blah, blah, blah." Have you stopped and listened to God? Mighty people of valor, stop. It's hard to stop. Stillness at times is a suffering. It hurts. Don't want to listen. I've got so much to say. There's no way you could solve that problem. And then you stop and listen. And he just breathes wisdom to you through the scriptures. Mighty man of valor. That's who you are. Number three. Mighty people of valor depend on God. They depend on God. They lean not on their own understanding. And that is a suffering as well, isn't it? It's hard to depend on God. Because we can't see God, but we know he's there. I like to teach the kids, when I say that the wind of the Holy Spirit, it's like, can you see this? But you know it's there, because you went like that. That's what it's like. So you can see the trees blowing. Where's the wind? I don't believe the wind's there. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't hold it. But I know it's there. I can see the leaves moving. So we depend on God. Even though we can't see him, we depend on him by the Spirit. Mighty people of valor, number four, obey God. They obey God. That's what it means to be a mighty person of valor. Now, obedience is quite a challenging word, isn't it? Obey God. That's what a mighty man of valor does. Again, challenging. And number five, mighty people of valor lead according to his will. And the key to being a leader, leading yourself, whatever realm it might be, however God has chosen you, what role he's put you in, what lane he's put you in, the key to leading is learning to be led. That's how you become a mighty man of valor who leads. It's learning not to rush ahead of God. And I say this to people, you want to be a leader, you want to take the step, learn to be led. Isn't that awesome? And that's a lifelong process, learning to be led. Because we wander off, we're like, "Oh, I think this is all right, yeah, this..." It's like, no, learn to be led. Do you remember that talk I did in lockdown with the Duplo bricks about jumping ahead of God? Well, by the way, I did a talk in lockdown with Duplo bricks. And I had a little Duplo person. He went ahead of God. And I realized that was when I was thinking about, that's a key, is we learn to be led. So in the first coming of Jesus, he suffers, he dies, that we might be delivered. His second coming, as we await his return, he will come back as a mighty man of valor, as all those things. So he's the one who's already suffered for our deliverance, but he will be the one, the great white rider, who will be valiant and loud and courageous, to whom every single knee will bow. There's power in that. That we are in the one, we know the one, we are loved by the one, we follow the one, we obey the one, we depend on the one to whom every knee will bow. So we see the might of Christ, every knee will bow, and yet the intimacy with that one. And when he returns, one question I want you to go home with is, will God recognize Christ in you when he returns the second time? Will he recognize himself in you when he returns and say, that's my boy, that's my girl? And we can help you with that if you're thinking, how do I be recognized by God? How do I be saved? Because when Jesus returns, there'll be no mistaking that he's Lord and King. Having already suffered for our deliverance, he will return as the mighty man of valor with a mighty army to judge the living and the dead. That's what's going to happen. Those who have died in Christ to be coming with him, those who are still on the earth, caught up in the air, and he will rule and reign, and every knee will bow. And he will give those in Christ total deliverance forevermore. Jesus, our mighty man of valor. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Revelation and then we'll pray. So let's just open our hearts. Allow the Spirit to open your heart. Thank you, Father. John writes, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you for Jesus by the Spirit. That Jesus is the King of all kings, and he's the Lord of all lords. No matter how high and successful we may go in this life, you will always be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Father, we thank you that in Jesus you recognize Christ in us. And Father, we pray, help us when we are hard pressed Help us when we're struck down, that we might live with you as our treasure. And Lord, I pray that you would advance your kingdom through us when we live in such a way that declares you as our ultimate treasure. Lord, empower us to be examples to each other, that even though we go through challenges, we say, God is my treasure. And we have that reality resting in our hearts that says, that's my boy. That's my girl. You belong to me. And as we get closer to Christmas, Lord, help us to know you as our ultimate treasure as we await your return. And we say, return, Lord Jesus. We pray, return. In Jesus' name, amen.